guys, and welcome to Rewatchable episode 81, where we'll be covering Avatar The Last Airbender episodes 11, The Desert, and 12, The Serpent's Pass, which is part one of a two-part episode, but we will be covering the second part next week. So, hi, I'm Donya. I'm going to be hosting this week, and it's a super fan kind of week. We've got two super fans, so myself and Mitch, and Ariana as our newbie. So say hi, guys.
Hi. Didn't we do this combo before? I feel like it was the three of us at one point, and it went fabulously.
No. I think we had one more person. It may have been Brittany as well.
I think it was Brittany.
It was Brittany. Oh, we should have resurrected her from the dead to come back for this.
But this week, so many of the guys are in New York, and it's so sad. So they couldn't be here with us. They're all running around Central Park. So whatever. Well, we're here to talk about Avatar, so it's all good. So guys, if you want to get in touch with us at any point, just to drop us a line or talk about anything we've brought up in the episodes, as always, you can either email us, which is rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, or you can contact us via our Twitter account, which is @RE_watchable, or you can comment on this post on hyperbole.com when the episode goes up. So let's get right into it with Chapter 11, The Desert. Actually, as a side note, we all thought that Ariana wrote the synopsis for last week, but we were wrong. It was Mitch.
And you were giving me so many compliments that I would never receive if you knew it was my time. Because there was one point when you were like, Danya, you were, oh, wow, I really like that reference that Ariana made. I'm going to make sure to run on her Facebook and compliment her later. And I was like, I don't even know what reference I was meaning to be making there, but
fine, but it's definitely Ariana's this week. So
if it had been, if they knew it was yours, they would just be like making fun of everything.
I know, that's the thing. So true. It's like I saw the other side, and it's a lot greener, I'll give you that much.
So, in this chapter, everyone is sad because Appa's gone, and, well, they're probably going to die in the desert. So, angsty Aang yells a lot, and Sokka gets high off cactus juice, and everyone keeps forgetting that, hello, Toph is actually blind. Thankfully, Katara, who is too nice, adapts well to desperate situations by getting her logical control freak on. She lets people drink dirty water and navigates the stars and coordinates the attack on the giant mosquitoes. But then the sandbenders come back and Toph is like, hey, they took Appa. And Aang is like, give him back. And they're like, no. But then everything changes when the Avatar gets mad. Aang goes full on Avatar state because ain't nobody messing with Pops. And Sokka is like, everybody get out. But Mofo Katara is like, it's cool, guys. I got this. He just needs a hug. Meanwhile, the bounty hunters after Toph catch a glimpse of Zuko and Iroh and decide to go after them. But after Iroh reveals that he's secret Freemason, he and Zuko escape in flower pots. But the real mystery, what will happen to that ostrich now?
Good point. The ostrich is just kind of, it's written out. What the hell?
I am just getting my laughter out before we even get into the discussion, because that was so hard to keep a straight face through. Ariana, I love you.
Golden as usual.
Yeah, always.
But really, though, like, what the hell happened to the ostrich?
I don't know. I'm sad because when I saw it again today, I was thinking, you know what? I know, like, I gave Zuko a lot of flack for stealing that ostrich, but, like, now I kind of feel like he's, like, a pet, and I was like, I'm really becoming fond of that ostrich, and then they just get rid of it. Like, whatever.
But then, so I'm sad. The other thing we need to think about is even if they had managed to snuggle it out, oh, God, smuggle it out, by the time they got to the ferry for the Earth Kingdom, like, from the next episode. They wouldn't have even been able to take it on because no pets allowed.
Danya, you'll appreciate this. I feel like this lady, this bureaucrat, as I think the credits gave her, is related to a certain someone in Korra that also really doesn't like pets. If you're seeing the relation, I think you'll find it pretty funny. Do you see it now? Like, it's really odd.
Doesn't it
make you wonder if there's a relation?
Yes, I didn't even think of that. Going to be something that we'll have to figure out at some point, whether that's intentional. But knowing these guys, it probably is.
Well, there's some like physical attributes of the two characters that I think look pretty similar. And the attitudes are very similar, like with the spitting and all that. Ariana, we're purposely leaving you out of the dark so we don't spoil you.
I know. I feel really left out right now.
Yeah, that's fine. I was going to say, let's move on to...
The cool kids can have their conversation. That's fine.
Let's talk about Angsty Aang, and Angsty spelt with two A's at the start. It's the best spelling of it.
Dang.
It is a different side of Aang this episode. How did you feel seeing this aspect of Aang, Ariana?
You know, at first I was kind of like, oh, I don't like this version of Aang. He's so mean. But after it was over, I like, especially when I started watching the next one and he was happy again, thinking, you know, this was a really interesting look at Aang as a person, because usually he's so childlike and happy, like, woo! And then this one, he was angry. He was mad. It was like he was realizing the gravity of the situation they were in, which he doesn't usually do.
I actually...
It's nice to see him, like, look powerless or feel powerless for once.
Yeah, I kind of really...
What do you think, Danya?
I really enjoyed that too, funnily enough. So I really like seeing different sides of Aang, because obviously no one's going to be perfectly kept together all of the time. So it was nice to kind of see him like lose control of a situation a little bit, and, you know, other people within the gang stepping in to have to, you know, pull everyone together, because it kind of highlights how important everyone is to the group. And obviously it's not easy to keep everyone together when at least one person is hopped up on cactus juice.
And that's definitely a reference to the drug peyote. It has to be. Which is one of the very adult things we're going to be covering in these two episodes. It's always shocking to me that I didn't catch this stuff as a kid, and that it didn't, like, color me odd. So maybe it's, like, not such an inappropriate topic for little kids, but as adults we're conditioned to think things like getting high off of cactus juice is super inappropriate for a child to know of. I don't know. Maybe a kid will go off and go drink a cactus after this and be really high and go blind from it. And that's all because of Avatar. You know, sorry.
I actually thought that this was really useful information, because I just recently read, like, one of the common myths that if you're stuck in the desert to drink cactus juice, and they say, like, some are good for you and some of them are really bad and might poison you. So I was like, oh, this is informative, so that, you know, don't eat the cactuses.
I would follow the ones that, like, little owls burrow into, because I'm assuming that they had to, like, chew out the area that they went into. I mean, of course, then I'm destroying the home of an owl. But that's how I would discern which ones are extremely poisonous and which ones are okay.
You're so logical, Mitch. I would want you on my desert adventure.
Well, I am the lazy avatar, though, so I probably wouldn't even get up off the ground. I'd be making sand angels like Sokka all day long.
Let's be real. You wouldn't have even got to the desert.
No, I'd still be in the library. I mean, like, I'd be like with Zay. I'd say, it's too much running. I mean, I'm just going to pet this owl. He's nice and pretty. Whatever. I mean, he has to eat something, right? I mean, none of these is a spirit, but I guess he's surviving down here somehow, so it can't be all that bad.
Oh, man. So, obviously, we touched on it a tiny, tiny bit, but Katara really took charge this episode, which must have made you quite happy, Ariana.
It did. You know, I'm glad that I don't have to defend anything she did this episode, because she was just pretty awesome. She was definitely the Hermione Granger of this group today. I mean, obviously, I feel like everyone would have been useful if they had been capable of being useful, except for Aang. He was just being angsty. But, like, you know, Toph couldn't see, and Sokka was on drugs. So she was just like... She was like, we got to get our stuff together, guys. Like, come on. So,
I was proud. I love how Sokka spends the whole episode just high.
Yes.
And it's blatantly just, high. There's nothing else that could be but, like, hallucinating.
The shot where he's, like, his eyes go really, really big. He's like, it's like, oh, damn. Oh, we're in trouble now.
I really do like when she turns into...
doing the worm.
Yeah.
That was funny. I love Hermione Katara. It's like in Deathly Hallows when Hermione's trying to, like, use the resources that they have around them, like, I don't know, eating mushrooms and weird stuff, except for not hallucinogen mushrooms, where Katara is like, hey, go bend that cloud. That was so resourceful. How smart.
Yeah. And then he comes back and he's like, there.
Because he's angsty.
He's very angsty. There was a much more efficient way to bend that water. And I'm sure Katara could have just, I don't even know, like, done it herself at that point. Wouldn't you think? Like, I feel like her bending reaches that far if she really needs it to.
Yeah. But I think she was maybe trying to involve Aang a little bit, because he was stomping around and being grumpy. So I guess it was a way to kind of make him feel useful and get him involved, but he was just being a grumpy grump.
Yeah.
Well, he had all the reason to. I like his angry face. I really love his angry face. He's like, it's not even just like, oh no, you killed the moon spirit. It's like, mm-mm, you crossed a line. And, you know, it's just like that look. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I love angry, angsty Aang. It makes me very happy, because he's just too happy-go-lucky, and I don't like happy-go-lucky protagonists. I like them to struggle.
Well, you guys ever... go. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, because I thought it was a little weird at first how she was so calm when everyone else was, like, freaking out. But then I thought about it, and isn't that how it usually goes in situations? You know, like, have you guys ever been in, like, a really extreme situation, and there's always that one person who has to stay calm because, or, like, if someone else is freaking out, you automatically stay calm just because you feel like you have to balance them out,
yep.
Like, naturally.
Yeah. Yes, pretty much every day I'm in work.
Have you guys ever gotten lost in the woods, kind of walking around, and it turns dark, and you're with a couple friends, and that's the kind of situation I've been in, where I'm the one that has to keep everyone calm and lead us out and pretend like I know where we're going the whole time, and it's absolutely terrifying. So I can relate to what Katara is going through in this, because she has no hope, just as much as everyone else doesn't, but it's kind of just like pretending so that everyone else can have hope.
Yeah.
So she's pretty strong this episode to do that for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, they'd probably be like skeletons left in the desert if they'd have been left to their own devices.
I think if she wasn't there, Aang would get his stuff together and get them out. But since she was there, it afforded him the ability to be like, rrr.
Well, they had to write Sokka out too, because Sokka's the plan maker, so to just cut his resource of his brain off made it a lot more interesting in this dynamic, because Katara is usually not even the leader. It's usually Sokka making the battle plan.
Yeah, it was really nice to see her take charge in this episode. Like, I really enjoyed it anyway. I mean, it's mm-hmm. This is the kind of Katara that I really, really like. This Katara. Like, I fluctuate on her a lot. Like, a lot. Most of the time, I will be frustrated by her. But sometimes she does stuff, and I'm like, yes, why is nobody else doing that? But, yeah. So the other thing we see from Aang is, obviously, when he kind of loses it when Toph manages to pinpoint one of the guys out of the Sandbenders being the one who took Appa. Were you expecting him to kind of like go that far over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From the way he treated those guards.
I was surprised he didn't just like kill them all right then. He was so mad, and it was building up. Like, I feel like he really holds on to Appa because he's kind of the only part of him that's his old life, the life he remembers before, you know, everything went terribly wrong. So,
yeah.
And I mean, I'd like to think it would have been pretty lonely on that iceberg if you didn't have someone else there to cozy up on next to, huh?
Yeah, I was going to say, they've never been apart. They've been together all the time, even in the iceberg.
Which I wonder, you know, through, like, Avatar spiritness, if at least they could communicate with each other, or if maybe some of, like, Aang's past lives were talking to him the whole time, because, I don't know, maybe he's in, like, a stasis, but if not, he'd be pretty bored. He'd want something to do, so I'm hoping he could talk to Appa all that time. It's kind of like, I don't remember the series, but they're ones with, they spell it Daemons, with D-A, and then it's, like, the E attached to the A.
That's, like, the Golden Compass, isn't it?
Yeah. I see Appa as, like, the Golden Compass Daemon. Yeah. Do you guys, like, catch that reference, too?
I haven't read them, but I saw that terrible movie.
Yeah, it was not good. The book was a little bit better. They just have spirit animals, essentially, in that. And Aang is definitely attached to Appa more than just like a pet. I like to say he's like his protector and his spirit animal.
Oh, now I'm getting more feelings about this episode and Appa being gone. It's like I already had a lot of feelings about Appa being gone.
I know. Did you guys talk last week, like, how terrible that is? That scene where she's, like, holding on to the thing and watching Appa leave? Oh, my gosh. I was just, I felt Top was a rock star.
That was the reference. I wrote in my synopsis, and then Toph chooses to sacrifice the few in the hopes of saving the many or something. And then, Donda, you were like, oh, I love that reference. I don't get it. What was that about?
Do you not? That's a Star Trek reference. You inadvertently made a Star Trek reference.
Oh, that's hilarious. Wow.
God, wow, when I'm too geeky for everyone, that's...
I think it's kind of like one of those Shakespeare sayings that just works its way into society and loses its origin.
Yeah, it's...
Is that the direct
Star
quote?
Trek are comparable, so...
It was almost... Let me get. It was almost the direct quote.
That is great. I don't even know where that came from.
That seems like something very Spocky. So,
yeah, that sounds something pretty Spocky. I've seen the latest one come out.
So I wanted to make sure that I got this right. So the actual quote, it's from The Wrath of Khan, the 1982 version, not the version of Khan from Into Darkness.
That's supposed to be like the best Star Trek movie ever, right?
what The Wrath of Khan?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. I thought you meant Into Darkness, and I was gonna be like, no.
Oh no. No.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm not just channeling my past Avatar spirits myself, and they're inadvertently shoving sayings and thoughts into my brain that I don't know what they are, and I'm just that much more intelligent from it. That's it.
That would be awesome. What would you be in a previous Avatar state, Mitch? Since you're the lazy Avatar now.
I'm the lazy Avatar now. Maybe it balance out. Maybe my chi would demand a yin and yang in my life. So I would have been, who's like a really...
And you're a water Avatar too, right? So that means your previous one was air.
Yes. I think I could have been Amelia Earhart.
That seems
realistic to
that
me.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah.
That was my past Avatar. Maybe she really liked Star Trek. And she's really been hanging out for all this time, you know, kind of with, like, Elvis or something.
And you know what? She was lost, too, at sea, like, kind of like Aang was.
Oh, so. It's perfect. Oh, that's great. Guys, if you had to pick a past Avatar for yourselves, who would it be? That's a good question. I like that.
That's really
mine.
Good question.
Mine is George Washington.
That took a while to reincarnate. Although, I suppose mine did, too. Why George Washington?
Because he's like a Banff, duh. I love him.
Out of all the people in the whole entire universe, you were the one and the only one that he chose to reincarnate himself into.
obviously.
Does it balance with you? Are you a good yin and yang to George Washington?
I think definitely, because he's so like calm and, you know, put together. He doesn't have outbursts of outrage.
Yeah, I like can see me. That. He didn't chop down the cherry tree, you know. And Danya, who's yours?
No idea. I'm just like sitting here going, oh my god, I don't even know.
Oh, that's an interesting thing. I never thought about that. If reincarnation was a thing, it had to balance out.
Maybe yours is like Elvis.
Yeah, because like Amelia Earhart and Elvis, like I said, are probably hanging out because they're both lost. And there you go. That's fabulous. I love her past avatars. I want our listeners to write in who they would have made their past avatar to be.
I'm going to properly think about mine. And I may drop a comment like on the Hypeable post when it goes up, when I've like had a think about it, because I don't know. Yeah. But anyway, the direct quote, Mitch, because we went way off base. It's the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few or the one.
That's a good quote. Good job, yes. Amelia Earhart.
That's Spock. That's
no. Spock. No. I'm quoting Amelia Earhart, who quoted Spock. My past avatar.
Okay, sure. All right, that's good. Yeah. So let's move on.
Yeah. So we saw the continuing trend of people forgetting that Toph is blind all the time. How are you enjoying that, Ariana? Like the way that they treat Toph's blindness?
I think it's really realistic because I forget Toph is blind every single episode. And also I like related to real life, like, you know, when you have close friends and they have a disability, like pretty soon you just forget, like you'll just be talking to them and you forget that they have a disability and they're like, no, I can't do that. And you're like, why? So you just, you know, once you are close friends with somebody, you just forget everything. You just see them. So I thought that was realistic.
Yeah, there is a really cute Tumblr post that I reblogged I think it was a couple of days ago because Michal kind of linked me to it. And even though the newbies can't look at it yet because a couple of the scenes haven't happened yet, it was like one of those like five times... It was like four times Sokka forgot that Toph was blind and one time he didn't. It was so cool. It's such a cool post. So when we get to the point where all of those scenes have happened, I'll drop that post into the group or something because it's such a good one. But if you follow me on my personal Tumblr, beware of Avatar spoilers because I reblog stuff for it a lot.
Oh, so is there like I don't know if you'd call it a meme, but some kind of deal where people are writing like four times X and one time Y?
Yeah, I think it's usually five times X and then one time Y. So it's like it's a 5+1 thing is what they do. Mm. It may actually have been five and I'm just forgetting, but it's so cool. I love those things so much.
That is cool. I never heard of that, but that sounds pretty fun.
Yeah. And obviously Toph, after she butt heads with Katara a couple of episodes ago, we actually got to see them teaming up properly in this episode because they were kind of two of the few, even though she couldn't see, two of the few competent ones until Aang got his crap together.
Yeah, I loved their teamwork. It was really, I thought it was pretty cool.
I really love the bit where Katara is like side by side with Toph and she is telling Toph where to aim. Mm-hmm. And she's like, move to the right a little bit. And I just thought that was such a cool way to do it because obviously Toph is at a real disadvantage, but where they had all of that rock, her powers were still like some of the ones that would work the best at that time. So I thought that was really, really cool. I loved that.
And it's nice to see Toph back with the team 100% after her little runaway that she did too, because it feels like in these two episodes, she does the tasks that she needs to do for the gang with a very straight face and does it with kind of just like, well, this is my duty kind of ambiance.
Well, I think she's been pretty back with the gang. I mean, she like saved everybody by single-handedly holding up a giant like library city.
Yeah.
That was no small feat. That was a giant library.
You try and hold up a library.
That wouldn't have been easy. I'm referencing just like that look she has in her face. Like the determination is just like kind of, I don't know. It's very stoic and just like, okay, gotta save the group again. And it's just, she does it, you know, like she doesn't have like crazy face on it. It's just like, this will work out. I'm going to protect my friends. And like that to me speaks differently than the library is crashing. And this is really scary. It's more of like, she has a confidence now that I really appreciate.
Yeah, I love Toph so much.
I love her confidence. That's what I love about her.
Yeah, I think she's great. Also in this episode, we got more Iroh and Zuko stuff now that they're back together for good. Or are they? Dun, dun, dun. No, but we find out that Iroh is part of a super secret society that uses Paisho as a front.
So Paisho is like Chinese checkers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, they never like sat down and explained it, but I'm assuming it's based off of a real game called Paisho, isn't it?
Possibly. I'm not entirely sure myself, but I love Iris part of a super secret society. I never get over this. At all, ever. The fact, the bit where they close the door on Zuko. And they're like, lol, sorry, members only. You can wait out here. And Zuko's like, what? This sucks. I don't want to hang out with the flower pots. Could you just imagine him sitting there talking to the flower pots, being like, this just sucks. I used to be a prince.
The universe keeps throwing things at me.
Yeah. just complaining to these flowers. Now I want ridiculous gardener Zuko.
It gets to the point where I'm just like, Zuko, I don't even care if you think your life sucks. Get up off your ass and stop being such an indignant bastard. Don't run away from Uncle. Use his help and find out what you can do. I'm tired of you saying, like, this sucks. Wah, wah, wah. Your mother taught you better than that. We saw her teaching you better than that, damn it.
Yeah, and also...
Yeah, he is being a whiny baby.
Yeah, it's also don't attack turtle ducks, because that's rude.
That was very rude.
That's so rude.
He's pretty steely. I don't think he's ever going to stop doing that. It's almost like the one quality I can see him and Azula sharing is just the steel stuff.
Zuko the kleptomaniac.
He's very kleptomaniac.
He is. Katara's necklace. You know,
he's a prince, so it all belongs to him anyway. Right? True.
Yeah.
The world is his birthright. Which means he can take anyone he wants. That's why he wants Katara so bad.
Though, other shippy kind of stuff in this episode, did you kind of like how Katara managed to, like, calm Aang down with just, like, a little hug?
I know. Well, that was impressive, too, I thought. Because, well, obviously, since I love Katara. But, like, he was just... I was impressed with everybody because he starts freaking out and Sokka's just like, get out, everybody, get out. So I was like, good for you, Sokka. But then Katara, she's brave. She's like, okay, I'm going to hug you and we're going to calm down.
Yeah, we're going to hug it out, bitch.
Oh, yeah, and the look on her face, too, is just like, it's been a long day. Aang, you need to turn off the spirit shit. Like, we're done. It's the last thing we need, all right? Tell me if you turn this air bison around. Oh, too soon.
And on that note, let's go into favorite scene. Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
All right, so my favorite scene is simply the fight that Iroh and Zuko have against the... I don't even know who they were, Fire Nation soldiers that were coming after them, because it was a fight that came in pretty early on in the episode, and I totally didn't remember it, didn't expect it, and was so exhilarated to see essentially a brand new fight that I had no recollection of. It was just so badass. And the way they go, they like, they have that whole like bad guys don't look back at explosions thing going on because they have their ostrich and they just kind of run through the grenade like whatever.
Yeah. Ariana, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was nighttime in the desert because I thought we got to see a lot of interesting points of view of people or their different facets of their personality. So, like, everybody's really thirsty, and Katara's like, no, guys, we have to have hope. Go get some cloud, some of that cloud aang, and he's like, wah, and he just, like, loses his shit. So,
yeah.
I appreciate, I liked that.
mine was just Sokka and his cacti. It was just, like, through the whole episode, I just love that. When everyone's like, I'm pretty sure you shouldn't be drinking that. Sokka, no. And he's just like, YOLO.
What are you talking about? Toph wanted in on this. She wanted to get high with him.
Yeah, but she couldn't see what was going on. And Katara's like, no, let's not do that. Let's, you're better off without it. Trust me.
And then he tried to lick, like, that cave.
He did lick the cave.
Sokka. Yeah.
I know, what was that?
He just like a
that was like beeswax.
Natural curiosity.
Even worse, it was giant fly wax.
Ugh. Lovely. Favorite lines, Mitch?
So my favorite line is when one of Sokka's high ones. Surprisingly, I was the only person that chose a Sokka high one, I think. Yeah, unless Ariana, yours is in there. All right, so mine is just simply Sokka being a weirdo and saying, who lit Toph on fire? I wanted to see it from his perspective, just like a very calm Toph, but blazing. That would have been great. Or like a giant mushroom in the sky when the Aang caused that like atomic explosion.
Yes, that would have been Karen's quote for this episode, I would like to believe, because she has a ridiculous love of mushrooms, like just normal mushrooms.
It's so odd. It's just she's full of surprises, whether it's M&M or mushrooms. She just likes things that have to do with
food. No, that's pretty much the extent of her love. If you
and
gave
horrible
her
things.
If you gave her a mushroom shaped like M&M, she'd probably collectively lose her shit. So
yeah. If it smelt bad too, because you know, like I said, she likes horrible things. So like if it smelt bad, had it was carved into the shape of M&M's face and was this giant mushroom, oh, she would be very excited.
She would. Ariana, what was your favorite line?
Mine was when they're all just standing there and they're like, well, how are we going to get out of here? And Sokka goes, you think if we dig out the giant owl, he'll give us a ride?
Yes, yes, absolutely. He would totally do that. He will.
I would have loved to see like an aside of them like
the owl.
If this show had more asides, I would have loved to see, like, Sokka's hypothetical, though I'm all kind of, like, desperately digging, finding the owl, and the owl chasing them off. In kind of, like, Scrubs fashion. That would have been cool.
my favorite line is completely ridiculous, because it's just when Katara said, on your left. Because I was kind of like casually sitting down at my lunch break today. And when she said that, I was like, oh my God, it's like Steve Rogers. Because if anyone's seen Captain America 2, that's what he says when he's running around and passes Sam Wilson when they're both running at the start of the movie. Every time he passes him, he says, on your left. So I really enjoyed that because it made me
think. The running sequence in the beginning, yeah.
Right at the beginning, yeah. Right at the beginning. With his boyfriend, Sam Wilson. Yeah, it was just one of those things where I was, like, being ridiculous, and it made me want to, like, come up with, like, who would all of the Avatar guys be if they were in, like, the Marvel universe, and how would the Marvel guys work in the Avatar universe, like who would be who, and that just literally took up my mind space for the rest of the day. So that's why I chose that line.
Because I don't know if you've ever read a book by Shannon Hale. She writes like all these princess books, but she says that sometimes when she's stuck on how her relationships with their characters work, she said her husband told her to think of who would they be in the Justice League? And then you like figure out, okay, like which one's Superman, which one's Batman. And then she said it helps out a lot.
I like coming up with alternate universe casting. So I like crossing over all my universes and figuring out like what my favorite characters would be doing in like a different universe and that sort of thing. I'm like super into doing that. So yeah,
it's a shame that Avatar has never properly done any cross universe stuff other than like Nickelodeon baseball video games. That's it.
No, I know.
I know, like, I'm sure, like, Aang and SpongeBob have some, you know, quippy lines together, but that's it. That's sad. It's not, like, worthy of our crossover fandom dreams.
Oh, right, let's move on to Chapter 12, The Serpent's Pass, which, again, as I said at the start, is part one of a big two-part episode. So we're only covering the first part of this, and then the second part will come in the episode next week. So the synopsis is, in this chapter, Angsty and the gang are hanging out with a pregnant lady, so they're going to ride a ferry to Ba Sing Se, but then everything changes when the old lady attacks with her stamp. They take the Serpent's Pass with Suki, who's totally back, guys, and everyone is super grateful that they have Master Air, Water, and Earthbenders hanging around because the rocks are scary and the sea serpent is whack. After making it to the other side, Sokka and Suki make out, even though he's still in love with the moon, and everyone is renewed with hope after witnessing the gruesome birth of a child.
Make a big tent!
So Aang decides he doesn't want to be angsty anymore, and he flies to Ba Sing Se to save Appa. But what up? The Fire Nation already there because they are closely following Aang's plot lines. Meanwhile, back at the ferry, Zuko's being influenced by Cholo's jet to steal chickens, and the mystery of Smellaby's gender is revealed. There we go.
I love that that's your last point.
But it was such a big reveal.
It was.
And it kind of teaches a really good lesson about, you know, making assumptions of gender and sex based on how someone looks. Yeah. So kudos, Avatar.
I would even go as far to say that perhaps if the creators wanted you to interpret it this way, perhaps Smellaby was born a boy, but their gender identity was a girl. Only because there's a line that Smellaby has right after that where it's like, oh, well, as long as I'm comfortable with myself, doesn't matter what other people think of me. And that led me on that thought
process. I wondered that too, Mitch.
Yeah, that was something that I wondered as well. Because if that's kind of like what they want people to read from it, like, wow, Avatar. Like,
Nickelodeon really wouldn't like censoring episodes as they do, and as many idiotic things as they taken out, I'm sure they would have if they knew what was really going on. But I don't think that they were smart enough to notice what was going on there. They were probably just like, oh, she's a tomboy, whatever.
But you know, what's funny is right before she said that, there's an earlier part where she's talking, and I was thinking, I'm pretty sure that's voiced by a woman, but I still thought she was a boy. I just thought it was voiced by a woman like Tommy Pickles.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I never actually wondered about Smellaby's gender whatsoever. I forgot this line happened, which is a good thing because I'm able to rediscover that. But all this time I've kind of just been like, I don't know. I didn't really associate Smellaby with either gender. It's odd that I didn't, because usually I think I would, but I guess it's a good thing that I didn't. Yeah. Because, I mean, I suppose we should do that in life unless it's blatantly obvious what someone's gender identity should be because they're exuding that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love that it's not so clear-cut, like, which way it is, because you could interpret it so many different ways. And I think that's really, really great because it opens up a whole other sort of avenue to Avatar and representation. So
Did Longshot communicate to Smellerbee via, like, some
eyebrows?
Eyebrows.
It's their eyebrow communication. Come on, we know that this is a thing because Derek Hale does it in Teen Wolf. He communicates with his eyebrows, okay?
That he
so
does.
So it is a whole other language.
The Jonas Brothers used to communicate with their eyebrows, too. Remember those caterpillar things they had to have in their foreheads? Yikes.
Yeah, so, let's see. Ariana, I love this. I just want to read this little comment that's the next discussion point. That it says, Katara knows she looks hot with her hair down. Her whole attitude changes. She works it.
She does. Okay, haven't you guys noticed, like, whenever she's doing, like, she's in her bra and she has her hair down doing the water bending, she knows she looks good. She's like, yeah. She knows Aang gets a kick out of it. She knows it.
It was like, don't get water in my scroll. She's like, oh, sorry, wringing out her hair. And I was like, wow. And I'm pretty sure a character, I think Aang, says, like, wow, I can't believe it, right after that. And it felt like it was that toward that, but it was toward a different plot point. I can't believe it. Katara is so hot with her hair down.
She does look really cool with her hair down, though. Like, I like the really, really kind of iconic look that she's got with the little hair loopies and the braid thing. But I really love her with her hair down a lot.
I like that you could see her hair's structure. I was thinking about how she would, in the real world, put together her hairstyle. And that the hair loopies are, I mean, to me, like, when I see them put together, it just seems like they're attached in both ends somehow, like, braided into each other. But now you can see that they're just two little pieces of where her sideburns are, her temples are, to that just kind of come down. So it's cool that the creators always think of those really detailed costume and character moments. I love those little details.
They are ridiculously clever with that sort of stuff. Like, I've got one of the big, thick Avatar The Last Airbender art books that has, like, breakdowns of all of the characters, all of their costumes, all of their different hairstyles. And
that sounds fabulous.
And, like, there's even, like, things in there, like, breakdowns of, like, the characters and workarounds that never made it onto the show, but you can see why they did it, because in order to be able to animate certain things, they needed to know what it would look like without all of that stuff on top. And it's, man, if you have the money to go buy any of the Avatar art books, just go, because it is absolutely fascinating to look at and read and just look at everything that went into this show. Obviously, err on the side of caution, because there are a lot of spoilers, because it covers everything, like, absolutely everything. The one I've got has got stuff from, like, all over the place in it. So
I'd say, I mean, I even wager, bet to say that if you saw character designs of the characters we know in the finale, you'd be spoiled. So it's probably best off that you just simply wait to see, like, don't, obviously, as we've all known by now, don't Google these characters and their different hairstyles and the like, but just play it safe and get this awesome book that Don is talking about when you're done.
it's really worth it. It really, really is. If you can hold out to the end of watching the series, or if you've been a fan of Avatar for a long time, I highly recommend the art books. But this episode actually saw the return of a lot of characters as well. So we got to see Cabbage Man again. And as always, his cabbages got ruined.
Oh.
And we got the same old cry of, my cabbages!
Guys, this time I really didn't think it was funny. I was so sad for him, because he's like a refugee, and I was thinking, gosh, that's like everything he has in the world, and they just destroyed it. Yep. And I don't know why. I really emotionally connected with him, and it was really sad.
I felt really, really bad as well, because I was like, this guy doesn't get a break, ever.
Donya, because I know at this point, I inadvertently spoiled by accident, I need to ask you a very careful question of where that bear came from, because I recognize it, and I think I know where I recognize it from. Someone has a pet that's a bear, and I don't think we've seen it yet, have we?
No, I don't believe that we have.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Wait, have we? Isn't it the...
it's so hard not to spoil, but I think we've seen it before. I don't know. Ariana, do you recognize that big bear from anything?
I don't think so.
Okay, then it's something that's probably coming up. We haven't seen it yet, maybe.
I just thought, well, whenever it does come up or whatever, I do feel that that was the same bear, if not dressed in the same exact costume as the other one we're going to see.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's, did you see that too? Oh, man. Yes.
Yeah.
Now maybe you guys can, like, hint, and I can say if we've seen it.
I won't do it, because I know I get too much flack for this. Donna, your turn.
This is the thing, is that I've pretty much convinced myself now that we haven't seen it yet, and it's me getting episodes mixed up in the wrong order.
Yeah.
Because I've seen everything, so I don't want to hint too hard. I'll look it up separate to this.
Okay.
Separate to this podcast, so that I don't spoil anything. Because
I'm really, really curious to know if that's the same exact bear, or if it's just wearing the same costume. Because if we can make that connection, yeah, along with the connection that I made about the person who doesn't like pets, and perhaps having a lineage in Korra, that'd be so cool to make two connections in this scene where they're trying to get the ship.
Yeah. But then, let's move on to another character that came back this episode. Suki's back.
Yeah.
Did you notice her? Did it take you as long as Sokka to kind of click who it was?
I didn't recognize her at all. But when she kept, like, going at it, I was like, maybe she's, like, that girl from the island. Because who else would it be, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did have her in the previously on Avatar, so that usually gives a lot away.
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah.
It's like, hey, guys, we're reminding you of this stuff because it may be important. At some point, hint, this episode.
I almost don't like those. Like, I like that it's the voice from the previous Avatar, bending Avatar. Roku. Yeah, Avatar Roku. But that's really cool that they kind of, I don't know, they probably just use the same voice clip, so I guess they're not keeping him on for too long, but he comes in every once in a while. He's a pretty cool voice actor, but I don't like that. I feel it gives away too much for newbies just getting into it, because they blatantly reveal that, like, Sokka's going to get back together with Suki in this episode from the first 10 seconds. It's like, wow, there's no build-up to that whatsoever.
Yeah, but I mean, looking back on the way it was shown before, I remember the first season taking, like, 2 years to air. Like, it took forever. I really thought that the series was like 7 seasons, because it just took so long for things to air.
Well, that would make sense. That would make sense if we're going by what I can definitely remember, how Korra season 1 and then season 2 had such a big gap, and they had no information in between those 2 seasons. So if Nickelodeon followed suit with Avatar, I can see why these previously on Avatars were necessary, because who knows? They could have only showed, like, the first 4 episodes of this season and then just stopped for, like, 4 months for whatever reason, to spread out the shorter season.
Yeah.
I don't know. But no, these seasons are longer than Korra, so I don't know why they would do that. It doesn't make too much sense to me. It's because Nickelodeon just inadvertently hates Avatar and just can't admit it.
How are you feeling about the relationship between Suki and Sokka, Ariana?
I like it. I think it's interesting to see him with her, because she's just so different from that moon girl. What's her name?
Yue.
I'm already so over her.
That one moon girl, the girlfriend that became the moon, whatever.
I don't know. I never got super into her, because she was so, like, I mean, she was nice. but, like, I don't, Suki's so, like, take charge, and I think it's interesting to see her with Sokka, because he obviously likes being the protector, but Suki can take care of herself. She's fine.
Yeah. I really like Suki a lot. So do you think we'll see her come back again, or do you think that for now this is probably the last time we'll see her, or do you think that's something they might pick up in future episodes again?
Oh, I think she has to come back again at least once more, because, or else why introduce her in this episode? That seems so weird to bring her back.
Would she be a character that you'd like to see play a bigger part, or is she one that you'd rather see in a kind of cameo role where she kind of drops in, drops out?
When I'd rather see a cameo, because now I'm kind of shipping Sokka and that Ty Lee girl, the funny
one. Oh, you remember one of the Powerpuff Girls. I'm impressed.
Yeah, because she was like, ooh, he's cute. And I was like, I can see that. I like it. So,
Ariana, what are they up to right now? We haven't seen them in these past two episodes.
I don't know. They're probably like getting their hair done and, you know, fighting tigers.
Fighting tigers in the meantime. Azula has some razor sharp claw like nails. I'm sure she could probably kill a tiger with her bare hands, minus the bending.
I bet she has like great nails too. Like, she uses them to claw out tigers, but she also, like, they shimmer and she gets them done every week.
Oh, kind of like the Warren in Holes. She has rattlesnake poison on her nail polish.
Oh, yeah.
It scratches you. That's what Azula would wear.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Probably also has, like, lipstick that kills you when you kiss her.
Oh, is it, what's that?
She probably also has that lipstick that, like, when you kiss her, it kills you because it's poison.
The Kissing Kate Barlow.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty relevant to what Azula would be like, actually. She's she's like a Warren slash vigilante, I suppose. She's like on her own mission. It's so cool. I like how she almost doesn't care what the Fire Nation wants her to do at this point. She's driven by her own personal motivations.
She's like, I am the Fire Nation.
Yeah. I love how much power she has as like a 14-year-old. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And not just physical power, but power over other people and just social power in general. To like, when she talks to people, people listen. They know that they will die. They'll be thrown off the ship and hit by harsh rocks if they don't listen to her.
Yeah, she's commanding that whole ship, and she's 14.
Seriously.
That is impressive.
Well, Ariana, then, what do you anticipate the Powerpuff Girls' next attack to be?
I don't know, but I want to make... I'm saying right now, I think May and Ty Lee are going to eventually figure out that she's like crazy bonkers, and I think that they're going to leave her, which will be sad because they obviously really love each other. But obviously, I think they're going to come back because Ty Lee's going to hook up with Sokka. And then May is going to hook up with Zuko and fight over him with Katara, because Zuko has to be a good guy now, even though he's hanging out with Cholo Jet.
Cholo Jet. It's like the Sharks and the Jets. Danya, remind me to tell you a connection that Ariana just made that she doesn't know later on, because she just made a really great one that there's no way I can't even spoil it, and I can't even try and elude it for the rest of you guys listening to the show, I don't think, but maybe you made it yourself, because Ariana, you're like a master genius in disguise, and that's
just
the most
so
I'm
you
going
know.
To say. Just so okay. you know, you're really smart.
And we love you.
You're great. Yeah. And I don't think you even knew what you did. It's okay. You're really going to like it. It's really cool.
But we'll move on before we accidentally spoil anything. So, is Hope a distraction? Do you guys agree or disagree with that?
Well, I'm a bit tainted from the word hope, and that's the most I can say on that matter.
Ariana, what about you?
I don't know. That was so cryptic. I don't know what to make of it.
Just ignore
Mitch. Mitch obviously has a lot of like emotional baggage with the word hope.
Yes, I do.
So, ignore Mitch.
Oh my god. Does this baby like grow up to be super evil and she's in the next series like killing everybody?
I don't think it's even worth saying no comment. Whenever Ariana comes up with something so wild, and it might or might not be true, I can't even say anything. Just laugh. That's it.
Smile and nod.
Smile and nod. We've killed off no comment. We can't even do that much.
Well, I think it's interesting the way he said it, the way the monk said it, because I do think, like, I think hope is important to have, because it's the only way that you can survive sometimes is having hope. Like, how are all these Earth people and everybody in the Fire Nation, not in the Fire Nation, going to survive if they don't have hope that things will get better? But also, I think that Aang is right and that sometimes you can't just, like, assume things are going to get better You have to really focus on what's ahead of you and just do that. So I think in this scenario, it applied well as they were, you know, trying not to die on the cliffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in between whether or not I wanted them to act in a hopeful way, because I don't know. Aang's right. It's like the monks bring up a really good point that hope distracts you and it doesn't allow you to get to your goals. I personally am not like, I would say this sounds horrible. I'm not like a hopeful person. I'm more of a realistic person. So when I can see a goal being achieved and I know how I'm going to do it, I'm like, okay, great. But if something seems out of my reach and it's like this sounds like lazy Avatar. If it seems like it's too much work and it's not going to happen no matter what, I'm just not going to go out for it.
No, that's what I think. I think that's what the monks are trying to say. Like, you can't just rely on hopes and dreams. You have to be realistic, and that's what'll help you achieve certain goals. So I think that's a good point.
Like, life is not a Disney Channel movie.
Yeah.
Si se puede, kind of.
But you can. They did.
Kind of.
I mean, yeah. What you're referring to, you're right. Stuff still sucks for farm workers, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, I love... Ariana, I just love your comments. Like, Ariana wrote the discussion points for us for this episode. And I love her comments about Katara. So, Katara the midwife, and this lady going into labor... Ariana's comment is, she's like Barbie, she can do anything and she has great hair.
I just thought it was so convenient that they're like, well, she's going into labor, what are we gonna do? Oh, it's fine, guys, I'm a midwife.
The amount of life-size references that I'm seeing in Rewatchable are ridiculous. Shine bright, shine star, be a star.
I also race cars in my free time.
Yeah, Katara is very much like a Barbie. She, you're right, and not like the typical like Barbie's too long, legs are too long, and she's too skinny. Like, she just does everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys remember Barbie. There was a Barbie that you can get that was pregnant. And to get the baby out, there was a hinge on its stomach that you opened up and it was out clothed. Like, it had like a little like outfit on already, sewn onto its body or something. It was just very twisted. It was very weird. It was like the C-section of the movie Alien. It was intense.
so intense. Oh my god. Ones that we had, it wasn't on a hinge. It would, oh my god, it's going to sound so horrible. You twisted it and
what the hell?
The stomach kind of like went inside, so it kind of like rotated round, and then it's like just this giant hole with the baby just in it, and you're like, you're going, in what universe is that okay?
Like, maybe that's what Katara did to this lady, and that's why Sokka was so
out. Oh my god.
Via waterbending, of all things.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty mysterious, because, I mean, Sokka was fainting about something. You know, it must have been pretty gruesome, not just a normal birth. Yeah, like...
I don't think he's ever seen one of those before.
if this is his first time seeing a grown woman... completely in the nude. I suppose it could be a disturbing thing because you don't really know if that's the real deal, like what's going on. You know, there's a lot of blood, a lot of gutsy stuff. It's not the prettiest.
Also, like a human being coming out.
Yeah. So. I mean, if anything, I mean, like that could scar him because it's not too sexy to see that. And if, yeah.
This podcast has just kind of gone downhill.
I swear, Avatar is handing these things up to us. The fact that they have like this extreme of a birth, where it's in like the Barbie reference that is absolutely embedded within Katara, they're doing this to themselves.
Yeah.
Okay, but were you guys mad that the birth wasn't like a bigger deal? Because I really thought, because everybody says that. Well, everybody was saying, "Oh, this ends on such a cliffhanger." So I thought, okay, she's going to go into labor like right now. And that's when it's going to cut off, because everyone's going to be like, oh, no! But, like...
Like, does she die kind of deal?
No, like, the next episode would be like, okay, we have to find a way to, like, give birth to her. And everyone would be like, oh, I don't know what to do.
But no, Katara had it, so...
You didn't think this ending was enough of a cliffhanger?
No, because I... Okay, I don't understand this ending. So what? He gets to Ba Sing Se, and the Fire Nation is coming?
Oh, my God. It's a giant drill. It's like, did you see it rotating? They're going to try and drill through the wall. That's the...
Oh.
Like, that's the... It's a giant drill, and they have a giant wall across all of Ba Sing Se. They're going to drill through the wall.
And, like, everyone is going to Ba Sing Se.
Okay, but... Yeah. Bad stuff was going to happen when they got to Ba Sing Se, obviously. So I'm not impressed by that, because it's fine. Aang has it. It's season two. Nothing bad is going to happen. Unless Iroh dies. Iroh could die, but everything else is fine.
On that note, we're going to move straight into favorite scenes.
Quickly.
Quickly. Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
All right. So my favorite scene was the... cute little moment that Sokka has where he's kind of still in love with the moon and he can't kiss Suki because he's kind of embarrassed. He's like, oh, she's looking at me. This is awkward. Let's kiss in the daytime, maybe.
He does kiss her in the daytime, huh?
Yeah, he doesn't want UA to see. I think that's hilarious. I like to say that since Yui is a spirit, she could probably channel through Aang's avatar spirit and kind of, like, spy on everyone all the time if she wants, because they're all pretty connected in that spirit world, so.
Then maybe Sokka and, like, could, like, make out with her as Aang, like they do in that ghost movie.
Oh. What a plot twist. That kind of seems more like a possession movie to me, though. Like a demon possession movie. That's not too friendly. Yikes.
Ariana, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when Katara got to be like a mofo and Moses, and she just like parted the sea. Like, whatever. I can do this.
Like, how can that not be a reference to Moses?
I know. And then they're like swimming around with things. It reminded me of Prince of Egypt. Have you guys seen that movie?
Yes. My people go.
My God, I'm obsessed.
So my favorite scene is when Zuko uses his epic sword skills to stack the bowls and then ties them up with ribbon. He's just like...
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, where did he get that ribbon or that ribbon tying skill?
I don't know. Maybe he learned it at the flower shop in the previous episode. Like, maybe the guy who owns the flower shop came back and taught him how to arrange flowers and gave him a load of ribbon. I don't know. Right. Favorite lines. Mitch, what was your favorite line?
Mine was the bureaucrat lady, the one that was stamping everything. When she says to Aang, I've seen 50 avatars a day. And by the way, not very impressive costume.
And there's just like the group of avatars left.
And they play the theme song too. And it's like, wah, 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 wah. Oh, some of them are pretty good.
Yeah. Good cosplay. Good cosplay.
My favorite was when we find out that her name is Smellerbee. And he's like... Oh, that's a weird name for a boy. And she's like, that's because I'm a girl. And Iroh just backtracks really fast. He's like, oh, now I see. It's a beautiful name for a lovely girl.
So I love Iroh so much. It's like not questioning it, not anything. He immediately kind of apologizes in his own way. And like, is just, oh, I love
Iroh. Like, of course, that's not a boy name because you're a girl. That's a great girl name.
Yeah. So my favorite line is kind of, it's a couple of lines. So it's when Suki kind of like subtly hinted.
Oh, we should role play this.
Really?
Yeah. Who do you want to be, Danya?
I'm going to be Sokka.
Okay, then I'll be sexy Suki.
This is gonna
sexy Suki. That's a thing, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Who is this guy? Is he taller than me?
No, he's about your height.
Is he better looking?
It is you, stupid.
Ah, how cute! I love that little bit because Sokka is so dumb.
Ariana, did you go to voice acting school?
Yes, you caught me. No, I did not.
That was impressively sexy.
Oh, thank you.
You must have been playing off of Danya's really indignant Sokka, as it's written.
Right. I think that's about it for, like, everything we needed to discuss for the episode. So we're going to move into some listener feedback in a bit, because we've gotten a few iTunes feedback kind of reviews.
We got a lot of iTunes reviews, so this time it's going to be all iTunes reviews. Woo-hoo! Yay. I'm excited.
So, again, if you want to get in touch with us at any point, and we always love to hear from you guys, any kind of feedback about the show is very, very welcome, and we like to interact with you as much as possible. So, you can always email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com if your feelings cannot be contained and you need to write a really, really long bit about your feelings. If your feelings can be contained within 140 characters, you can leave us an @reply on Twitter, and our Twitter account is @re_watchable. You can also comment on this post on hyperbole.com when the episode has gone up. And as you will see from the reviews we're about to read, you can leave us one on iTunes. And if you give us 5 stars, Karen will let you witness the birth of her firstborn child so you can be renewed with hope. And what better incentive do you need to leave us an iTunes review than that? Unless you're kind of squeamish like Sokka and then you pass out. But we're not liable for that.
Who's Karen's baby daddy? Do you think it's Eminem?
Oh my god.
Haley and Hope, you know, they kind of fit together.
So, yeah, just like Karen's going to listen to this episode when she gets back and she's going to be like, guys!
We picked on her so much. Now it's her turn.
Yeah. So, iTunes reviews. So the kind of little header that we got from this was fantastic. And that was from Jolino82. And they say, love listening to Last Avatar Rewatchable. Great insight that I never would have thought of while watching the show. Keep up the great work. Which is so sweet.
Yeah. Thank you, Jolino82.
Yeah.
I literally love these iTunes reviews. There's nothing better than an iTunes review because
I know.
I don't know why, but like, it just seems so much, so much more effort. Special.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to search for it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's never an easy thing. We try and make it as simple as we can, but it's just, yeah, it's not the best interface. So thank you.
It really makes my day. Thank you for validating my life.
We have another one, which is titled Love This Show with an exclamation mark, and that's by iPhone Kelsey, which says, another great podcast from Hyperbole with both new and familiar voices. I love listening to the hosts discuss Avatar The Last Airbender each week. I don't have the time to actually rewatch the show, # grad school problems. So listening to Karen, Brittany, Aliana, Michal, Donya, Natalie, Mitch, et al. Lets me enjoy the episodes all over again anyway. Also, it is so much fun to hear the newbies theorize about different aspects of the show. ... No comment. So thanks for letting me live vicariously through you guys as I listen on my way to and from school. You guys make those bus rides much more bearable, and I look forward to the show each week.
Aww.
I'm getting all like welled up with like how sweet everyone is. And I'm just really, really glad that people are like really enjoying it. So yeah.
It's not just a ruse.
My favorite part about this review is that she literally spells just about all of our names wrong. So
I wasn't gonna bring that up.
No, that's okay.
I mean, it's kind of
it is totally okay because Michal still spells my name wrong every time she writes
They spell your name right?
Adeola.
That's surprising. You're the only person I think other than Natalie and myself.
No, my name has one N, guys. One N.
Oh, no.
And A, okay?
So Natalie,
like,
Mitch, and
Ariana
Karen.
Dumbledore.
Fine.
Oh, is that how Ariana Dumbledore spells it with one N?
Yeah.
But it's fine because they're just going on what it totally sounds like. So it's
exactly.
It's an audio podcast, also, yeah.
Yeah. The last iTunes review that we've got to do is from Sir Barristan Selmy, which says, "Bendtastic." Yes, I love that. So
I love this Sir Barristan Selmy.
Yeah. Yeah. This one says, "I started listening to the podcast when they started Avatar because, well, that's the only show they've done that I've actually watched, and I haven't regretted it since. They host are funny, warm, insightful, and downright awesome. Ariana's synopsis never failed to make me laugh. She's awesome. Not playing any favorites because I enjoy everybody on the show, especially since I also listen to NATWP, which is not another Teen Wolf podcast. If you guys are into Teen Wolf and you want to hear some of us, we're over there as well." It carries on. "And I've grown to love certain hosts. Amazing podcast, to summarize. P.S. I'm holding Karen to that promise. I want my stolen Earthbender daggers." Karen.
She'll be sending them.
Karen, you've got to uphold this promise. Like, sorry.
You know what, but it's really hard to get mail across the sea to where you are, and then you're all walled in and marine right now, and so it's kind of hard.
We'll try our best. I do appreciate that they wrote that they love your synopsis, but they didn't like knock mine down because they just said not playing any favorites, you know. And I'm like, okay, I like that.
It's okay, we'll play favorites. Well, I love
it. I'm not playing favorites either. But if I was playing favorites, I think that Jolino82, iPhone Kelsey, and Sir Barristan Selmy would be my favorites. But I'm not playing favorites.
This is amazing. I don't think I've ever read 3 iTunes reviews in 1 episode of Rewatchable. That's so cool.
I know.
Yeah. It's awesome. And that is such a nice way to leave the episode for this week. So thank you for all of the lovely feedback.
I know,
but at least some of us will be back next week. You'll have Natalie hosting because I will be joining our missing members who are in New York. So I'm in New York from Tuesday. So Natalie will be hosting the next 2 weeks of episodes, and I will be back in 2 weeks' time. But you may get some of these guys, so Ariana and Mitch, on those episodes too. But until then, I'm Danya.
I'm Mitch.
And I'm Ariana, with one N.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.